Right across Newcastle on the Hunter, 2NURFM 103.7. Time to have a look at some of the things in the political world with Dr. Jim Joseph of the University of Newcastle, who I think we figured out, apart from one meeting a couple of weeks ago, it's been like 18 months since I've...
Yeah, good morning, Mark.
But you walked in and said, don't you like me? I said, no, I just wasn't here. Yeah. All right, today the concept of the fragility of democracy. So we need to sort of take a step back and put some concrete around this.
I've been thinking about this a little bit, partly when the Prime Minister came out yesterday, I think, and sort of exhorted us to be more civil and whatever, following, a death threat. Okay. Now, these sorts of things are sort of part of the job in some respects, a terrible part, if you like, and people often resort to sort of making those sorts of threats. But it got me thinking about, just how robust is our democracy, okay? Because, you can assassinate somebody, but it won't change the nature of the rules, the social relationships that make up that. So I began to think, our democracy, the Australian democracy, built from the United Kingdom's Westminster system. We have a liberal democracy in Australia, and the principles around which it's built are basically that we elect representatives who make decisions on our behalf. Part of that is built on the principle, Mark, that government, political authority, rests on the consent of the governed. Now, and that can be sort of misinterpreted in some ways, because people say, well, I didn't consent. But we do consent. Each time we go to an election, we consent to that group of people who get elected to make those decisions. Even if we're voting for the opposite side, the side that doesn't get elected, the principle that's based on is that we accept the outcome. And one of the things in Australia, which is Marxist, is slightly different to a lot of countries, is that we do accept the outcomes regardless of the results. We have faith and trust in our electoral system. And that's another thing that's different, I think, about us. If we compare Australia's electoral system to, say, the US as a federation, they're markedly different. Ours electoral system is, we have a federal one for federal elections, and we have state ones for state elections, each of which are independent of the governments of the day. Now, that's taken a long time to come about.
I think that's one of the more, and I think that's a huge, glaringly, obviously, difference there, because, if you look at the US system, every town is the people of the red. Well, every town's got a different way of voting, casting a vote, and it's counted different. I think the idea that we have this standardised system, it makes it easier to feel that we'll get the right results, but also easier to criticise and easier to fix if there's a fix.
Yes, but we need to remember, we're still talking recent times.
Yeah.
Okay, the last, if my memory serves, Mark, the last electoral commission to become independent of the government of the day was in the Northern Territory. They were still part of the Chief Minister's office in the 1990s.
That's pretty recent.
That's pretty recent. And which sort of we need to then think about, because it's so recent, we need to appreciate just how fragile that can be. Someone may decide in a given state that, we need this under the direction of the Premier or the Chief Minister, whatever, or the Prime Minister, and suddenly you get a shift. And there are all sorts of circumstances that one could think of, scenarios that one could think of that might be seen to justify such a move. Okay, they may not be good scenarios and they may not be valid in any meaningful sense, but if they convince people of the need for this to happen, then things change. So, we need to be mindful of that. The other thing that I think is about Australian democracy that's worth remembering but still fragile is that the executive of the government, the Prime Minister and the inner cabinet, as it were, are answerable to the parliament because they're all elected members of parliament. That's quite different to the US system, which has a separation of the presidential arm, which is the executive, the legislative, the Congress, and the judiciary. The executive technically is answerable to the Congress, or the Congress is supposed to keep an eye on how the presidential decisions go in order to make sure that they're consistent or are reasonable. In Australia, that all happens, within the parliament in principle. of course, it's a numbers game. And when the government has the numbers in the lower house, it's rare that the ministers or the executive get censured by the lower house, even rarer for the whole parliament to censure the prime minister, for example. But in principle, they're accountable to the parliament and hence accountable to the electorate in a sort of distant sort of sense. So that's one of the sort of strengths of Australian democracy. One of the weaknesses might be, though, is just how representative is it? And by that I mean is, you know, if you're a Green or a One Nation person, you look at the results and go, well, 10% of the population support us and we can't get a seat in the House of Parliament, in the House of Representatives.
And that's so tricky because you look at the current government. We've had other examples of that where it's been closer. It's been, what are we looking at, 30, 35%?
Yeah.
So it's like, well, that's 65% of the people that don't want you. So that's much more than half. But well, yet the way that our voting system is,
yeah,
we end up that way.
Like, sort of in that sense, you know, a third of the population don't support either of the major parties. Okay, we understand that. But one of the things that's sort of really tricky is that on a two-party preferred vote, you get a certain percentage of the total vote and then you get a certain, you know, how does that translate into seats in the House of Representatives? Because that's where government is formed in the House of Representatives.
How tricky would it, what would it be more chaotic if we just got rid of the, just blasé, just get rid of, but the concept of a two-party preferred? What do you think we'd end up with then?
We'd go into a first-past-the-post scenario, which basically means a minority would get elected to rule. At least with a two-party preferred, with preferential voting, there's a more even spread of one's vote. So you may not get the first preference, but that then goes to support maybe your second or third preference. The crucial thing, I think, Mark, is that we haven't yet resolved the fact is you can get the majority of the votes, you know, in terms of the popular vote, but you may not get the majority of seats. And there have been elections where parties have dropped their primary vote and increased the number of seats. So the translation of popular vote to number of seats is pretty uneven. It's not smooth and neat. So there may be a case for some level of reform at some future point, because as more and more people become disaffected from the, you know, two and a bit party system that we have at present, the robustness of the system may begin to waver, may begin to lose its foundations, and people become open to the to sorts of, shall we say, more authoritarian solutions to what they perceive to be the electoral problems.
And then I suppose we can finish on this, Jim, because time will get us, but whatever reform may be put forward or suggested at some point, somebody's always going to be at the losing end of it, so it's always going to be wrong, isn't it?
Well, in a sense, Mark, but, you know, of course, you have an election, someone's going to win, someone's going to lose. But the principle that we work with, as I said earlier, is that so long as you have faith in the voting system, the procedure for that election to take place, then you accept the outcome because you have faith in the way it was conducted and all the odds and ends that go with it. So that's one of the sort of pluses about Australia's electoral system and the foundation of its democracy. But there are lots of other issues that one could go to and point to. But we're not in the same situation as the US, where all sorts of democratic principles are, shall we say, fraying at the edges.
Very different system.
Quite politely.
All right. Well, I'm sure we'll cover them at another stage. Plenty of time to go. Jim, as always, a pleasure. We'll talk to you next time you're here.
My pleasure, Mark.
There he is, Jim Jost, our Professor of Politics from the University of Newcastle, here at 2NURFM.